This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
From high above the Las Vegas Strip, this is Joe Dickhead with the Professor, and it's NFL Picks!
Yes, this is the Professor.
And this is Joe Dickhead.
Our NFL picks are sure to lose you money.
We couldn't find our asses with both hands with a flashlight in a closet.
Yes, our NFL pick line is losing money hand over fist. We haven't won ourselves any money, you any money. Why are we even in this business?
Because we love football, that's why. And today on Joe Dickhead's NFL Picks, we'll give you our picks in three different ways. First, as a TV police drama. Secondly, as a sitcom. And then thirdly, as a science fiction movie.
It's Joe Dickhead and the Professor's NFL Picks for this Week 14 in the National Football League. Oh, well, I don't know what the hell I'm doing here. I'm trying to pick these damn games.
You couldn't pick your nose!
Well, I'll tell you right now, who do you like in the Arizona-New York Giant game?
That's not a football game, that's my wife.
I guess I like the New York Giants.
Say, who do you like in the Oakland-San Diego game?
Oh, definitely Oakland.
I think Indianapolis will beat Atlanta.
And the Jets over Cincinnati.
Okay, enough of that bullcrap, and now, as a detective drama. Okay, baby, sit down.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about. No, you can answer my questions, or we're going downtown.
Well, I think Kansas City will beat Denver.
Kansas City beat Denver, huh? What, do you think I was born yesterday, huh? You think I'm some kind of an idiot? Kansas City gonna beat Denver. Denver over Kansas City. Professor, what do you think?
No, I agree with the woman. I think it'll definitely be Kansas City over Denver.
All right, baby, you got lucky this time, but maybe next time you won't be so lucky, okay? I have a C in my jurisdiction. I'll run you in for spitting on the sidewalk. You understand?
Yeah.
Now get out of here!
And now, Joe Dickhead and the Professor presented as a science fiction movie, these rotten picks of ours.
What is it?
I don't know. It's outside the window.
What is it?
I don't know. I'm going to see.
Oh, Jesus. It's the Miami-San Francisco game. Shoot it! Shoot it!
I don't know. I think San Francisco's going to win that game.
All right, let's try these buttons. Ah, that doesn't work. Maybe it's Seattle over Dallas. Maybe it's...
Jesus, if you didn't want the tickets, you could have just said no.
Washington over Philadelphia at home.
Yes, this has been Joe Dickhead.
And the Professor with our bad NFL picks.
Be sure to log on to PhilHendryShow.com to find out who we really like.
But some of these we made mistakes with.
We don't really like Washington at home. We like...
They got to pay for that one.
Joe Dickhead's NFL picks along with the Professor, courtesy of the Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And by the way, the voice of R.C. Collins in that bit we did last hour, featuring the kid who wants to arm all the teenagers of the world so he can go up into the cave and twirl bin Laden's head off of his bayonet, done by me. And all of the people that called, including our fine friends down south, all real people. If you want to know more about our show, and if you want to sign up for Backstage Pass, philhenryshow.com, December the 21st, December the 21st, mark that down on your calendar for that all-important webcast of the Phil Hendry Show, including 3 hours of our show prep process, followed by 3 hours of the show. You don't want to miss it. Starts at 1 o'clock Pacific, goes all the way till 7 o'clock Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern to 10 p.m. Eastern on the Phil Hendry Show website, our first ever webcast. The people from Be Here providing the live video streaming equipment, and it's not just live video streaming. And when I say live video streaming, in other words, you're watching a TV show. You know, there's live action. It's not the click here to reload this image. Please be patient. It takes every 60 seconds. Forget that. You'll be seeing a 360-degree view that you control. You're the director. You control the shots, literally, independent of everybody else that's watching it. So that happens on the 21st. Went to my wife's Christmas party last night, and I showed up, and there were no plates for the food. And then I sat down and had food and talked with my wife, and then we left. So it was okay. There were people giving speeches. You know, if you give a speech at a Christmas party, an office Christmas party, keep it short, make it amusing, make it relevant, and then shut up. Sit down, be quiet. We know you appreciate us. Generally, our Christmas party is tomorrow night, and our Christmas party is always a festive time. It's a lot of fun. But generally, the boss, the CEO, the head of the company, whoever wants to get up and make a few remarks, and what you wind up seeing is him standing and talking in a very impassioned manner while people at the very back tables are sipping furtively from hip flasks that they've, you know, smuggled in, and they're looking around, and they're passing bottles under the table, and people are moving their Cokes under the table, and they're pouring whiskey, and then they're making comments. Nobody's listening way back there. The only people that are listening are the ones that have to. They're the ones that are sitting up front, and they're with their hands folded in their laps, staring and just giving one of those forced, kind of embarrassed and somewhat painful smiles like, oh, that's swell. And they wish they were back there with a nice contoured hip flask pouring the rye into the Coke. And so just make it the other thing that you, Christmas parties are for one thing and one thing only, getting drunk. I'm sorry, it's the only reason to go to your office Christmas party, so you can tank up and get wasted enough to tell people what you really think of them. Then on Monday, when you return to the office, you realize you've embarrassed yourself beyond record, and you know you don't really know what to say to that person, so you avoid them all the rest of the week. Isn't that, am I right or wrong? I'm looking at Janice. I'm sure she's done that plenty of times. Now, me, that's why I stay on the straight and narrow at my office Christmas party. I don't have a drop. And I don't dance because I don't want anybody to see anything about me. I don't want anybody to know the least bit of information about whatever carnal urges may course through my body. And if I dance, they can kind of get an idea of my physical rhythm and therefore the things that may interest me in a carnal or physical sense. So I don't even dance. Because if I get up and dance, then I'm sort of emoting. No, I just sit and stare straight ahead until someone comes to get me. Usually a wife, a driver, a nurse, anybody, right? And then you talk to folks, and it's really fun. Go to your Christmas party. Try something different. Go to your Christmas party and just sip coffee all night. And then as people slowly get wasted, they'll wander up to you.
Hey, man, I just want to tell you something. You are, without a doubt, the funniest son of a bitch. No, really, really. Oh, that's really. No. Come on, Phil. Don't blow me off. No, really. No. I know, but I really got to go. Oh, okay, man. Hey, I'll see you Monday, Phil.
All right, man. Thanks very much.
Okay, man. Okay. He's got to go. No. He's got to go.
Well, why isn't he talking to you?
He's got to go.
Anyway, enough about Craig Taylor. I was, isn't that the truth? All right, so I'm not going to say anything more about it. Here is an interesting article that was in the Daily News. I think you'll find this fascinating. I did, anyway. The what they call the annual Dubious Dozen Awards is given by a writer in the Los Angeles Daily News in sports. And some of the comments that he makes about some of the things in sports over the last year are fairly cogent and relevant, and some maybe a bit, a little inside if you're not a sports fan. But I think whether or not you're a sports fan, you find this interesting. Dick Ebersol, do you know the name Dick Ebersol? Some of you may know. I think he's a producer. Am I right about that? At NBC? He's the guy that made the decision to go into business with the Vince McMahon to form the XFL. He's also the guy who made the decision to tape delay the Olympics from Australia. So, in other words, he's a guy that ain't got too many good decisions behind him over the last year. So they give him a big dubious achievement award. And I think it's kind of a low blow, personally. I mean, guy took a shot, the guy missed. You know, it's easy to knock a guy when he takes a shot and maybe he misses. It's real easy to just sit there in the back of the crowd and not do anything. Just not take a chance. Just kind of sit there and wait for everybody else to step out front. That's easy to do. But it's tough to be the guy to go out front, take the shot, to be the guy to go out front and try something new. And my hat's off to Mr. Ebersol, even though he looks like a major asshole today for some of the decisions that he's made. Now, moving along. There's a guy named Lee Hamilton who does play-by-play, or did, for the Minnesota Vikings until he was fired during the summer. Excuse me, he wasn't fired. I take that back. He resigned. He resigned because the local chapter of the NAACP in Minneapolis, Minnesota, found out that he had made what they referred to as racially insensitive comments on his extra sports show. What were the racially insensitive comments? Well, Mr. Hamilton said, or questioned, I should say, according to the AP, whether blacks could do sports talk radio. I don't know what the actual quote is, so I don't even know if he actually said that. And he also referred to a Japanese pitcher, a Japanese major league pitcher, as a fat Jap. I look at this and I say, there but for the grace of God. Just about every day on our show, we do something along similar lines. But I'm still employed. How do I do it? Easy. I have a fake character say the words for me. I make up R.C. Collins, Margaret Gray, Joe Dickhead, any number of different characters that I create, and they call people fat Japs, and they say that blacks can't be sports talk hosts. And guess what? The next day, I still got a job. Why is that? Let's talk about it. Why is it that Lee Hamilton says that some cat's a fat Jap, and some other guy couldn't do sports talk radio because he's black, and Lee has got the NAACP following him around from town to town until he's got to resign from this play-by-play gig, and Henry comes on the air and talks about Osama bin Laden being sodomized at a Christmas tree lot, and I'm still working today. How does it happen? Well, I'll tell you how. For some reason, when I say those things through a character voice, people forgive me. They say, oh, that's Phil just being silly. And they laugh and we move on. Guy like Lee Hamilton says it. He's got the NAACP following him. And he eventually has to resign from a gig. Why? Because he said it. He didn't have a character say it. So even though people know that I do the character voice, when I say it through a character, they say, oh, he's just being silly. Whereas Lee Hamilton, he's a Nazi. Now, here's what I've been trying to say for 28 years. Everybody in radio plays a character. Nobody who does a radio show is being themselves. But because of the big mouths that work in talk radio and sports talk radio saying that they tell it like it is, because these guys got to be big fat mouths and say, we're honest about how we feel. We tell it like it is. We don't hold anything back. Well, you don't hold anything back, then you must be an asshole because you said the guy's a fat Jap. Now, if you would have said, oh, well, it's just a radio show and it's a form of entertainment, I didn't really mean to say it, then you know what? You keep your job because people say, well, he's being satirical. But these guys have painted themselves into a corner by saying, hey, man, I'm honest and I tell it like it is and that guy's a fat Jap. Oops. Well, you're out of a gig. Whereas me, I'm different from all them guys. What I say is, this is bullcrap. All my characters are a load, and even the character that I play on the air, the Phil Henry character, this is really not the guy that goes home at night. I don't talk this way to my kids and my wife. I don't have animated conversations with my friends this way. I only talk this way when I'm on the air. Now, maybe this is a real side of myself that I don't allow the rest of the world to see when I'm off the air. Fact is, this is not a guy. When's the last time, Janice, you saw me talking like this, waving my hands around and acting like an asshole off of the air other than this afternoon and yesterday afternoon? When's the last time We all play a character. We all play a character because this is all an entertainment vehicle. But for some reason, I don't know why, individuals in this medium, in this format, would like you to believe that they tell it like it is and this is who they really are, so that when they say Fat Jap, nobody forgives them for that. Yesterday on this show, yesterday on our radio show, we had Bob McGraw from McGraw Industries say that he has a Christmas tree lot at which he set up an Osama bin Laden dummy, and men can go up and simulate sodomy for $5 every 3 hip pumps. I'm still working today. And why is that? Well, I didn't want to say. I don't really like talking about myself. But let's. It's because we are master craftsmen. We are the master skillful operators of this thing called satire. We know exactly how to present a point of view and at the same time make people laugh. That's why I'm here. And that's why poor Lee, well, he got canned from a Minnesota Viking, or he had to resign from Minnesota Viking. I'm going to tell you something. I know how it is. I worked for a year in Minnesota. I worked for a year in Minneapolis. It is the most backward group of broadcasters in the world. In the city of Minneapolis and St. Paul, the combined media of that town is some of the most backward that I've ever seen in my life. I worked for a radio station. I don't want to mention any names because there's a lot of nice people at WCCO. But, oops, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say. But they were about as backward a group as you ever saw in your life. And I remember when I went to go, you know, when I was about to go up there to go to work, I had the program director send me a tape of the station so I could hear what the station sounded like. And I put this tape on in my house, and I listened to it, and I started to cry. I wept. I wept. I wept until I shook. I ran outside with just a sheet wrapped around me, and I beat my bloodied fist against the stucco of the bungalow. I was just... I was like Deborah Carr in Heaven Knows Mr. Allison, running out into the rain with my habit off. All you've got in Minnesota are a group of surly Norwegians, angry, sullen Swedes, a sort of recalcitrant form of Denmark person, and they're all just screwed. And it's a very insular place. You could live there for 3-4 years and nobody will introduce themselves to you, but they like to say they're Minnesota nice. So it's cold and it's a forbidden and foreboding place. Plus, there's only about 3% of the population is black. I know that's going to get a lot of you white folks to move up there, but the fact is, you know, a little culture never hurt anybody, okay? A little color, a little pastel, a little shading, you know, a little design, a little, you know, some new fashion statement. Never hurt anybody. For the years, the only black man up there was Prince. But that is what's up there. So, you know what, Lee? You did yourself a favor quitting. NAACP chapter, who are they defending? There's like 3 black guys up there. Well, it's time to get an NAACP chapter moving up here now. Next thing you know, we'll have 3, 4, 5, 6. Next thing, we'll be talking about some real numbers, 20, 30. All right, 1-800-449-8686 here on The Phil Hendry Show. Check it out in the Daily News today, though. This is the Dubious Achievement Awards. He slams all kinds of people. Dick Ebersol again. I'm like 3 times this Dick Ebersol guy. Keith Olbermann. Remember Keith Olbermann? This guy, apparently, he can't keep a job. He apparently got canned off of, I don't know, what was it, Fox Sports, CNBC, MSNBC, ESPN. He apparently has got a part-time job at CNN. And then Shaq has supposedly had sex with Cindy Crawford, and he was telling everybody about it until Cindy Crawford said, no, I don't even know him. And then he said, oh, I was only kidding. Oh, okay, well, that's fine. Shaq, as long as he's just kidding. He went on TV and said he betted Cindy Crawford, Madonna, and Britney Spears all at once. And then, well, I'm just kidding about that. How do you like that? And who's going to tell him not to do it? See, this is what you get, man, when you're about 18 feet tall. You can say anything and do anything that you want. Nobody's going to say anything about it because you got 46,000 people telling everybody else how he was only kidding and he ain't bright enough anyway to know what it is that he's saying. Me, I lose my gig. Poor old Lee Hamilton, he's got to leave the beautiful floral confines of the Twin Cities of Minneapolis-St. Paul. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
is Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.
You know what it is? Professional athletes really are the lowest form of human life. I've known a lot of them, and especially professional football players. First of all, they're not really all that interesting. I know it sounds, you know, I'm being very mean here. I know, and I don't mean, well, I sort of mean to be, because I'm being honest. They're really, first of all, they got no real sense of humor. Like maybe two out of the entire, how many football players are there in the National Football League? 40 times 30 is what, 1,200 players? Okay, that's like two out of 1,200 could actually make you laugh. I mean, really. Not just like if there's a few kneecap-sucking sportscasters standing there. Oh, man, William the Refrigerator Perry. What a ride. You with the frozen smile. There's like two of them are funny. Then a couple have some personality. But they're really football players, basketball, baseball. They're really, they're good for one thing and one thing only, and that is to execute the sport that they are paid to execute, which is either baseball, hockey, basketball, whatever it is they do. And that's what we pay to see them do. But when you have to get down to the business of getting to know them, they are some of the most odious, stupid, and egocentric individuals that you'll ever meet in your life. And I don't know how else to say it. Terry Bradshaw may look like the most personable, yokel kind of a backslapping guy you see on TV, but I'm sure in private life he is as insufferably dull and I wish I had his money. Now, but we get the Shaq here. How come I know about Shaq and who he's screwing? That is a nightmare. I'm looking here at the, what was it, the Inquirer or something was talking about Shaq betting Cindy Crawford. Boy, thank you very much. I was just about ready to get my dinner down, and I had to hear that. Hey, Shaquille O'Neal, and Dennis Rodman, and Carmen Electra, and whatever other chicks that guy was supposedly banging. Yeah, try and get some of your dinner down talking about Dennis Rodman doing anything. I think he's a very interesting ball player. I think as a human being, he's desperately in need of attention. He desperately doesn't want to fade from the limelight. He desperately wants people to continue to notice him, to continue to see him and to gawk at him and to think he's a Bull Brummel. What he doesn't understand, and this is the sad part for Dennis, he's a freak and a sideshow, and people are interested in him as we are interested in the Elephant Man. That's why we're interested in you, Dennis. Not because you're interesting, but because you're the Elephant Man. You're a freak in the sideshow of American basketball bull-oni. Bull-oni. Hello, I'm Bull-oni. Nobody cares about you, man. Nobody cares about you, Shaq. You play ball. And then, like the freak that you are, you get into your car and drive away to the freak cage that they keep you in. But we don't want to know about who you're betting. Whoever told you that we're interested in your life? Who? Whoever told you that anybody in this country, aside from a handful of children who look up to you and will until they're about 15 or 16 and begin to understand what the world is all about, whoever told you that we really cared about your romantic escapades, about your rap career, about your movie career? You play ball, and then if you do anything on the side, like your rap career, your movie career, it's only interesting to us because, like a freak in a sideshow, we pay our nickel to go in and stare at you for a while. I feel sorry for you, man. Because I know that that's the truth. The only reason why Jack Nicholson wants to even be in the same, within the same breathing space as you. The only reason why Cindy Crawford, Jack Nicholson, anybody would share the same air as you within like a 5-square-mile radius is because you play ball. Otherwise, they would walk across, they'd walk 3 blocks across the street to walk around you. They don't want to talk to you. You play ball, different story. And Rodman, you'll notice now he's gone. Now, as Rodman didn't go out quiet. Rodman went out loud. Rodman went out big time. He went out with a big loud party on the beach and helicopters landing, all kinds of jackasses bugging the neighbors and, you know, the usual insufferably rude neighbor kind of a thing. Rodman would not go out quiet. Well, now he's gone, man. There's only one loud party that's going to grab our attention. Then after that, you're just like a kid banging a stick on a garbage can lid. Just go away. And now he's gone. Now Dennis is gone. And he sits there, wherever it is that he sits, and he looks at the unsold copies of his book, and he wonders what happened. This is what happens to an athlete once they retire. They go through a withdrawal, the likes of which is so profound that they can't stay out of the spotlight, even to the tune of, for instance, a Dick Butkus, who's a Hall of Fame linebacker in the National Football League for many years, getting into tights and doing car commercials, jumping up and down in the beds of mini trucks, wearing tights. This is how low it gets. All right, let me just adjust my tights. And okay, 1-800-449-8686. Ryan, hello.
Phil, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
First-time caller. I'm great. I think your show is incredible, and I just wanted to call and tell you that I agree with you 100% on the Shaquille O'Neal and Dennis Rodman deal that you're talking about here. I think
you just insert the name of any athlete.
Yeah,
it's
any
not
athlete.
Dennis Rodman.
I agree with you 100%.
Better name somebody white, just in case anybody misunderstands. How about Mark Gastineau? How about
Mark? Sure.
Who is that other mental case? That who? John Rocker. There's a
John Rocker. There's
a guy that's a real example of what I'm talking about.
He's a real treat.
Just go
isn't
out
he?
There and play ball and shut up, you know. And the sportsmen.
I agree with you. They don't have anything good to say. It's like talking to a kindergartner, anyways. Anytime you listen to any of their interviews.
Well, look,
it doesn't sound like they've been beyond third grade.
The point is, they don't sound any brighter than you or I, and nobody's paying to hear us talk, are they? nobody's sure paying to see us play ball, and they shouldn't because we don't play ball. I do pay to see John Rocker play ball. But other than that, I got no interest in what he has to say about anything.
I agree.
And he has nothing to say to me about anything.
I agree. I agree with you 100%, Phil.
Well, then why are you calling?
All right, Ryan. You know.
Thanks for calling. Hey, by the way, I read a thing in the paper, and I want you to help me with this. Are you in Utah? You're in Salt Lake City?
I am.
Now, I saw something today in the paper that says that the Utah people don't want to come down for that Las Vegas bowl game against SC because it's Christmas and that you guys don't travel on Christmas.
No, that's not true.
They said
that's
that they're
not true. I haven't heard that. I've lived here all my life, and I have never heard that.
What was
I
in
know
the
a lot of people don't want to go down there because they're upset because, well, the University of Utah lost to BYU, and they don't want to go to a Vegas bowl because it's
like small time?
Exactly.
Oh, all right. The thing in the LA Times today was that the people in Utah don't want to split. It's Christmas. They can't be bothered. Maybe it was the same thing. I don't know.
It could be.
All right, Ben. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye. You know, which was more honest than the people in L.A. who should say the same thing. We don't want to go to Vegas for no Utah Bowl either, whatever it is. The Vegas Bowl with Utah and SC. Whoop-boo. Whoopee-whoop. Yahoo. And I saw this thing in the paper. They said that people are so hungry for tickets to a bowl game that they'll drive to Vegas. I'll drive to Vegas, not for a bowl game. I'll ride that roller coaster up there before I go to a bowl game. I go to Vegas, man. You know what I'm going to watch that game? With the croupiers at the Barbary Coast. Okay, here is Mark on the Phil Hendry Show. Mark?
I'm Phil?
You're Mark. I'm Phil.
Oh, I want to tell you, the first time I heard your show, I hated it.
So join the club. I hated it the first time I heard it, too.
Because I thought it was real. And I thought the people you were talking to were real. And I was like, what kind of show is
this? This is a really fascinating series of comments, isn't it? Steve, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Steve, I really love...
Hey, Phil, I really love you, too.
I really love your show, man. Sorry, I'm a little bit nervous. I got to take issue with you something.
Go ahead.
About how you're putting down college football now. I don't assume you saw the CU-Nebraska game or the CU-Texas game.
I saw the CU-Nebraska game.
You didn't think that was exciting?
It was outstanding. I'm just saying that in the overall scheme of things, college ball matters not. It was in response to a guy's question about the BCS. I said, well, the BCS, whether it's that or whether it's the coaches and sports writers poll, it is insignificant to know who the national champion of college is, because college is merely a stepping stone to the professional ranks anyway. And why are we getting ourselves wound up? Go back to the college and sports writer poll. Get out of here with these computers. Play your stupid games and, don't bother me. That's all. It's a good ball game. And he's turning up his radio. You know, one of the things about doing the kind of show that I do, nobody wants to talk about anything other than me doing funny voices on the radio. You know, I express a couple of opinions, and that clown calls, asks me a question, and turns the radio up to see if he was actually on the air, even though he was talking to me. Isn't that, you got to be me to know what that feels like to say something to a guy, and he didn't say anything to you. He just turns the radio up.
Was that really him?
One hand on the wheel, the other one in his lap, just kind of, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Anyway, I said all that stuff yesterday, so I don't need to repeat the fact that I think that college ball is a 1-800-449-8686 Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Hey, forget about Harry Potter. The movie that's coming out next Wednesday that's going to be very cool is the Lord of the Rings. Ian McKellen plays Gandalf. Elijah Wood plays Frodo Baggins. Ian Holm plays Bilbo Baggins. If you don't know who Ian Holm is, did you see Alien and remember the robot that she beats the crap out of at the, you know, she knocks his head off and then plugs it back in? That's Ian Holm. He plays Bilbo, who is Frodo's uncle who gives him the ring. Christopher Lee plays Saruman the White. Really good cast. Sean Astin plays a hobbit named Samwise Gamgee. And Sean Bean is Boromir the Human Warrior. And there's just a whole bunch of guys. It's going to be a very cool movie. And on the 25th, I said Bilbo. What did I mean? Okay. Anyway, along with Ali, which is coming out on the 25th. Will Smith, and that's a movie that was directed by Michael Mann. Now, those are a couple of movies that are worth seeing. And plus, I understand that Lord of the Rings is very violent. That means no kids in the theater. Hey, all right. Unless, of course, you're an irresponsible adult who happens to bring your kid in with you. All right, here's Ann. Hi, Ann. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil.
Yes, ma'am.
What are you doing?
See you later, Ann. Here is Larry on the Phil Henry Show. Larry?
Hey, what do you say, Phil?
What can we do for you?
Phil, just wanted to make a comment about all the whining and crying about, you know, the Oregon Ducks not being able to go to the Rose Bowl. They're flat going to get spanked by Colorado.
Okay, thanks. Here is Nick on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey. You know, about the professional athletes, I think you're being way, way too expansive with saying that all professional athletes are worthless.
Oh, I totally.
Granted.
Totally think they're worthless. I mean, they're good at playing ball.
Granted, okay, I'll grant you this much. The NBA is terrible. There's no reason to watch that
Why?
Anymore.
Why? Wait. What are you talking about? The way they play ball or the human beings that they are?
They're a bunch of thugs. Who cares to see a bunch of thugs that don't know how to conduct
And what makes the NFL so much better?
I'm not saying the NFL is better.
What makes Major League Baseball so much better?
Hold on a second. When you're talking about
baseball,
like professional
football,
baseball,
hockey,
players,
basketball, they're all scum
hey,
as far as I'm concerned.
It's a talk show. You going to allow me to talk?
No, I'm not. Baseball, basketball, football, hockey, all professional athletes are tremendous at their chosen profession, which is playing the sport. Other than that, they have absolutely no compelling aspect to their nature. They're not interesting as people. Many of them are criminal. Most of them are stupid. I like to watch them play ball. I love watching pro football. I wouldn't spend 2 minutes with any of them outside of the out of a football stadium. That's all I'm saying. Stan, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Phil.
Yes, sir.
I gotta say, as a listener, I think I might be feeling some of the frustration, the same frustration that you do about some of the callers. And I was wondering if you were going to be maybe reinstituting "You May Now Talk to Phil" and making it sort of rare.
Yeah, I don't know. Ever since 9/11. And what's happened in the country, I have a need to talk more to people.
Yeah.
So making it more of a rare occurrence, I don't think so.
Well, yeah, that right after 9/11, though, it seemed like the callers were more intelligent, but now they just want to talk about how good your show is. And on it, hearing the same thing over and over, just like you said, it's just sort of frustrating.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll just have to do better at hanging up on them.
Mm.
I blew two of them off the line just before you. What do you want from me?
Well, I appreciate that.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Johnny. Johnny, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil Hendry. I got a couple comments here about professional athletes. Now, I've known a couple of them. Went to high school with one guy that graduated, went on professional football.
He graduated?
Yeah, graduated high school, went to college.
That's very
at UT,
good. High school
up,
and college. Okay.
And ended up playing for the Redskins, I believe, over the Seattle Seahawks. And he spent about a season, and he was just so stupid that he couldn't know the plays. He was just a big, strong guy. And now he's a phlebotomist. I mean, and then this other guy I knew.
He's a phlebotomist?
I had an alcohol problem a few years ago.
What orchestra does he play with?
Sir?
Okay.
Yeah, I was in this, I had a drug and alcohol problem a few years back, and I was in this rehab thing up near Houston. And there was a guy in there that had been in there 8-9 times, and he was a professional football player back in the 70s. He played for the Redskins. Old man. He was real big, and he had his beautiful, shiny ring. And all he ever talked about was how he used to play football. Every game he played, everything. There was nothing to this man's life except the little bit of football that he played for.
Now, you had a drug problem?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, thanks for calling. Okay, that was Troy Aikman calling in, and always good to talk with him. Here is Mark on the Phil Hendry Show. Mark?
Yes.
Hi, how are you doing?
Phil, hey, you know about those athletes. You got to remember, though, most of those men are just kids who've never really had to, you know, work. They get everything handed to them, and then they become athletes with all this money. And what do you expect?
They're working for a living now.
Well, I mean, all the way through their whole careers, everything's been not necessarily handed to them, but everything's come easy.
Yes. Well, when you say come easy, I don't know what you mean, though. They had to work from being a football player on the high school level to a football player in a college level, and gradually, slowly and but surely make their way up into a more exclusive club called the NFL. That's a lot of work. I grant them that.
I understand, but, you know, these are naturally gifted people, and whenever you have a special gift or an attribute, you know, it's hard to be humble sometimes, and you just end up.
That's fine.
End up.
You know, that's fine. They can talk about how good they are at football. I don't need to know anything else because they got nothing else to tell me. You know, they can talk about the X's and the O's on the football field. I want to hear about that. I'm interested in hearing about that. In fact, I like to hear them talk about the mechanics of the game and the science of the game. I like to hear them talk about how they play their position. But beyond that, whether they're singing a country song, whether they're cracking a joke, whether they're giving an interview about their home life, when these guys start talking about how they were raised, it is, you know, come on. Look, I realize on any given day we can all be a little dull, but there is nothing more boring than an athlete talking about how he was raised and his home life growing up, as if there's something unusual about it, as if there's something unique, as if there's anything we got to learn from an athlete and how he was raised. That's when it begins to get criminal. And the people that pander, the media that sticks the microphone in front of this dullard's face, they're every bit as culpable. Talk to me about the game, man. Don't start talking to me about how your grandma raised you, or your pappy did this, or your mammy did that, or the farm you lived on. Just shut up. Just play the ball game and say thanks very much. And here's how we rotate the zone. And here's how we split the backs. And here's how we won the Super Bowl. And now I got to go. This is the Phil Hendry Show.